I'm really thrilled to be joined by two incredible leaders from the law enforcement community. First of all, we have Sheriff Clarence Burkhead of Durham County, North Carolina. He is the acting sheriff of this incredible county and is one of the wonderful leaders that we have on the Law Enforcement Immigration Task Force. So he's here to share with you the local policing perspective. And then we've got Tim Quinn, who's an incredible leader from the border perspective. He served as the principal public liaison for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection from 2017 to 2025. And he's also a part of the Council on National Security and Immigration. And so we get to work with both of these leaders in a regular sense, and we're so thankful for their leadership. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you, Jenny. My pleasure.
Awesome.
Good to be with
So,
you.
thank you. So, let me just kick us off with a few opening comments and then we'll get over to you all. What we've seen in Minneapolis is not how immigration enforcement should work, and it's not how the vast majority of Americans want it to work. We're praying for the victims of those who were killed in these terrible shootings, for their families, for their friends, and for their communities. No one should ever get hurt or killed amid an immigration enforcement effort, especially by agencies that are meant to keep us safe and secure. We are glad to see that the White House has seemed to take some initial steps in recent days to reduce the presence of the officers in Minnesota, and we're encouraged that other federal leaders and state and local leaders are calling for a de-escalation of tensions. So, with that, I'm going to turn to our first expert, Sheriff Clarence Burkhead of Durham County, North Carolina. Sheriff, over to you.
Thank you, Jenny. And once again, really an honor to be here with you, with the forum, and Tim, my colleague. And you're correct. What we're seeing in Minneapolis, the tragedies that we've watched unfold, are just unacceptable. It's heartbreaking. And certainly my condolences go out to Ms. Good's family, Mr. Purdy's family. These situations unfolding on American streets is unprecedented. The tactics that we're witnessing being used by CBP, Custom Border Protection agents, are just not tactics that we, law enforcement, teach and train and aspire to each and every day in our communities. Our role is to keep our communities safe. And what we're witnessing all across this country, and certainly in Minneapolis, is ripping away at that trust and making it more difficult for me to do my job right here in North Carolina because of what we're seeing play out in Minneapolis. So I'm optimistic that the administration is now shifting their priorities and perhaps reprioritizing how they're going to carry out these operations. I remain hopeful that in the coming days and weeks that local law enforcement will be invited to the table to be part of the conversation of how we police our community. And I'll say this, all sheriffs, whether North Carolina or Hennepin County, we all want to keep our communities safe and we know how to do it. And so if there's an element in our community that the federal government wants to identify, locate, and apprehend, who better than to do that than local law enforcement? So I'm looking forward to this conversation. And again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Sheriff. I really appreciate that. And I know that you and so many other local law enforcement leads have built just years and years of trust with the immigrant community. And so I absolutely hear that concern as anything happening anywhere erodes kind of that relationship everywhere. So I really appreciate your comments. And Tim, can we bring you in now from your vast experience as well? Over to you.
Sure. Thanks, Jenny. Good to be with you and with the sheriff. I'm going to gear my comments a little bit toward Tom Homan's comments today in Minneapolis. And just at the outset, let me say that this has not really ever been a conversation about not enforcing immigration laws. It's been really a question about how to enforce immigration laws. And I agree with comments that you and the sheriff have made that we may be seeing, and based on what Tom Homan said this morning, we may be seeing a recalibration in terms of those enforcement actions. What he talked about today were more targeted enforcement actions against those who are threats, alleged threats to public safety and national security, at reducing the federal law enforcement presence, a smaller footprint in order to carry out that more targeted message. I was very glad to hear him talk about meetings with local officials, with law enforcement partners, with community organizations. Those should be ongoing as part of good law enforcement practice. Those should be ongoing throughout the entire operation as long as they are in Minneapolis, and not just meeting with those who agree with you. It's important to sit down with those that disagree, even vehemently disagree, and try to find where there may be common ground. There was also a mention about respecting and understanding constitutional protected activities and the need to safeguard those. Tom was right when he said that the operations that we've witnessed in Minneapolis, I think it was an understatement to say that they were not perfect. They were far less than perfect. I think they were driven by reckless numbers of deportations, directions that were coming from the White House. And unfortunately, what was sacrificed was good law enforcement professional standards in pursuit of those numbers. A few unresolved questions just quickly to mention. If there is truly a recalibration, we have to ask what is going to change as it relates to the policy that the agents and the officers on the ground are receiving as to how they do their job. How does the training look different? I'm interested to know what U.S. Border Patrol's role is going to be now, since they are not well equipped for sustained interior enforcement. I think that we need to make sure that the investigations of the use of force instances, that we receive updates on those. We didn't hear anything today from Mr. Homan about the use of body-worn cameras or the masking of agents and officers. And I think also there are questions about the administrative warrants that ICE will be using. So I think while there may be hope that we are seeing a change in enforcement tactics and strategies, there are still unanswered questions that need to be pursued. Back to you, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Tim. I really appreciate that. And you know, some of those tactics, you and dozens of other national security leaders with the Council on National Security and Immigration put out a release yesterday just saying, you know, to continue to ensure trust and to maintain accountability at DHS, we need to see some of these changes. So thank you for nodding to what we did see in some of Homan's, you know, comments this morning and what we want to continue to see. And so if folks are interested, I know that that release is getting dropped into the chat and has been picked up as well. It's so operationally focused, which is so valuable. And really allows us to cut through, I think, the tone, right, and the tenor of the moment to really, to your point, Tim, think about how do we really just ensure that we get back to safety, we get back to accountability and rebuild trust. So thank you for what you shared. I'm going to just let folks now start adding their questions in the Q&A so that we can really get into the discussion. While we do so, though, I'm just going to make a few quick comments while folks are, you know, calibrating their own questions. So unfortunately, you know, we started to really have a concern in 2023 and 24 when we heard the then candidate Donald Trump really start talking about mass deportation, this labeled large enforcement effort, which was called mass deportation. And so we put together an explainer in 2024 at the forum and really raised and identified a lot of the concerns that unfortunately we're now experiencing, but we really harken back to that resource. It's key. And we're also going to drop that in the chat so folks can see that. The reason why we want to put that is because we wrote that sort of clear eyed before we knew we were encountering it, to just sort of say, if we see these things here, here are some ways that we can continue to move forward and try to make sure that we have kind of the right responses in those moments. Also, I wanted to say that in 2024, we've been issuing regular polling, and especially on this topic with Americans. And we've seen that the majority of Americans, including the majority of Republicans, do not want to see this kind of immigration enforcement. And even most recently, last month, 80% of Republican voters said that they want their solutions to be, quote, focus immigration enforcement on threats to public safety and national security only, which is honestly, I think, what most Americans believed that the enforcement efforts would be focused on and should be focused on ahead of the election and over the last year. So we know what Americans want, and we know what our law enforcement experts are telling us is the right thing to do. So turning over to questions, I don't see any yet in the Q&A. Is there
Jenny,
anyone?
Jenny, if I may,
yeah, please, please.
I just want to build on what you just said. We heard from then candidate Trump in 2024. That's exactly what was told to local law enforcement, that our efforts would be to identify those violent offenders who may or may not be in the country illegally, and we will go after them. But that has not been the case. I mean, we've seen these raids and just going from neighborhood to neighborhood, just scooping up American citizens. And so somehow the message has gotten lost or the directives have changed. And I was in a meeting in DC in 24 where Director Holman said, we're going to arrest 1,500 individuals a week. And some of those individuals will be labeled as collateral arrest, whether they can prove their citizenship or not. And that's what we're seeing play out. And the other thing is these tactics, these are not law enforcement tactics. These are, I don't even know the term to use for these tactics, but my office, my deputies are trained to use law enforcement tactics. And here's the other thing that I've seen and really disturbs me is when Ms. Good was shot and Mr. Purdy was shot, it took minutes almost for them to render aid. Deputies and officers in law enforcement have a duty to intervene and render aid immediately. That's not happening. And so, yeah, these two cases that are most recent and fresh in our minds highlight the lack of training, the lack of compassion, the lack of directed enforcement that we were told would be the case. So I'd love to hear what Tim's thoughts are on what we're seeing and where we go from here.
Yeah, Tim, before I do, thank you, Sheriff. Those are key and wonderful pieces. Tim, before I kick it to another question, did you want to weigh in on that or add anything there with the sheriff?
Yeah, I see the question in the chat regarding the Border Patrol, and I can respond to that. You know,
I'm going to just read it out loud because I'm not sure everybody can see it. So the question is, the Border Patrol, you mentioned that the Border Patrol was not well equipped for sustained interior enforcement. Can you elaborate on that? Okay, thanks, Tim.
Sure, thanks, and thanks for the question. You know, in my time at CBP, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of Border Patrol agents and to watch them work in the areas where they're trained to work, which is along the borders of the United States. And most of the time, I was watching them operate in the Southwest border during the migrant influx over the last several years. And that's where they're trained to operate, is between the ports of entry, to deal with the migrants who are crossing the border. Many in recent years were surrendering themselves to Border Patrol, and the Border Patrol was trying to process them. So that is where their training is geared, is to where they most often operate at the borders and not necessarily in the interior of the country. That's where ICE has operated, and particularly enforcement and removal operations. That part of ICE has operated in the interior. And it is a different level, as the sheriff knows, in terms of policing communities, and particularly urban communities, densely populated communities. and especially in areas where you have First Amendment activities taking place. That is a different kind of training for law enforcement in order to work in those different environments. And I think the fact that Border Patrol was introduced into areas where they do not receive training or extensive training, I think in part is why we saw what we've seen in Minneapolis.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, I'm gonna make sure. I see more questions popping in, and so I'm gonna look at these quickly. I'm gonna read this next one, but I'm making sure that the other one is not a follow-up on what you just said. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm gonna go to the second question. Okay, there seem to be discrepant narratives in places like Minnesota, where local and state law enforcement say they can't enforce federal immigration law, while the administration says that's not what they're asking for. They're just asking for assistance with enforcement, like more custodial arrests of immigrants in prisons and jails. What additional clarity or communication is needed to move forward with more lawful cooperation between local law enforcement and DHS? It often seems like both sides are talking past each other. Do either one of you want to take a crack at that?
Well, I'll take a crack at it. the first thing that has to happen is that we have to have a seat at the table. You all have heard me say this before. The communication with ICE is non-existent. The communication with CBP is non-existent. So I don't know when they're going to show up in my county. I don't know what assistance they need. I don't know to whom they're searching for. And so it's hard for me to assist them if I were so inclined, if I don't know what's going on. And so they just show up. There's no opportunity to deconflict. They may be looking for the same individual that we're looking for, who's committed a crime right here in Durham County, North Carolina. But there is no communication. So in order for us to work together, we first have to communicate. And I'm not inclined to participate in these raids. I've said that, and I will continue to say that. I cannot and will not enforce a judicial or an administrative warrant. I'm going to follow the rule of law, protecting the First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and making sure that my residents are afforded due process. And so none of that's happening. But again, like I said, we have to understand what their goal is when they show up in Durham or in Charlotte or any community. Just let us know how we can assist and then give us the option. And that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, appreciate that, Sheriff. Tim, another one for you here in the chat. Have state, local, tribal, and territorial government officials raised concerns about the Border Patrol? And what were those concerns, and how often were they raised?
Yeah, so I've been gone from CBP for now about a little over 7 months. So I don't know what concerns have been raised in the time since I've been gone. But I can, based on my experience, I can tell you that if Border Patrol was showing up in large numbers in communities in the interior, likely local officials and state officials would be concerned by that if that is an atypical situation. Border states are used to seeing Border Patrol and are familiar with Border Patrol operations, but when you introduced Border Patrol into states and communities that are unfamiliar with them, unfamiliar with their mission, unfamiliar with their legal authorities, unfamiliar, quite frankly, with their uniforms, that does cause concern. And we would often hear from local officials if they were seeing that activity.
Thank you, Tim. Super helpful. Okay, we've got another one here. Back to the sheriff. We've got another one here in the Q&A. Thank you, Jackie from Notice. We're happy to host the event. Let us know if there's ever a topic you want us to pull one together on. So, Sheriff, have you coordinated with other sheriffs and law enforcement leaders in North Carolina about how to respond to potential immigration surge? Is there coordination across the state right now?
There's conversations locally and across the state of North Carolina on how we respond to CBP or to ICE even. As you know, North Carolina passed Senate Bill 318 a few months back, and which required state law enforcement to more fully cooperate with ICE, and just came short of signing on as a 287G. That piece of legislation did not impact the way sheriffs in North Carolina do their job or cooperate with ICE. But we're talking about how we can, again, keep our communities safe. We're going to follow the law. And so 318 does require us to notify ICE when someone is placed into our jail. When conditions of release are set, we once again have to notify ICE, give them a 2-hour window to come and interview or to detain that individual. So that's new with the passage of House Bill 318, Senate Bill 318. So we're trying to do our part according to the laws. And beyond that, we're talking about what happens when they show up in our community. As Tim mentioned, we get calls that these masked individuals who are dressed like law enforcement look very militaristic in my community. What do we do? And so we coordinate efforts and try and identify those individuals to keep, again, keep the fear in our communities down.
Thank you for that nuanced, incredible leadership and balancing all of those things. I think I don't see any more Q&A. So what I would like to ask, because I know everybody's busy and running a million miles a moment right now, I was hoping to turn for sort of just a final comment from each of you, kind of a top line of what you'd like to share at this time, or kind of reiterate some of what you shared. Tim, over to you first, and then we'll end with the sheriff. How would you close us out?
I think just again, because we always need hopeful notes on difficult topics, and I think hopefully as a result of what we've experienced in Minneapolis, that this change, that this recalibration is real, that it will be sustained, and that it will help shape other immigration enforcement actions wherever they may occur across the country. But I think there are still are many unanswered questions that we need answers to in order to know that professional standards by law enforcement agencies are being adhered to. But today may be a day for a little bit of optimism.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. We do need it. We need it wherever we can find it. Sheriff, how would you close us out?
Well, I'm going to remain optimistic. The loss of life is unacceptable. And these individuals were US citizens. And so, if we truly, and again, this is not immigration reform. This is, I'm not sure what this is, but we need meaningful immigration reform. I'm hoping that Congress will get to that at some point. But what we don't need to continue to do is terrorize American citizens, terrorize neighborhoods across this great country, and put people in fear of being detained or scooped up and shipped off somewhere simply because they look a certain way, their skin color. That's unacceptable. And again, I remain open to having these conversations that are geared toward keeping our community safe. All of our residents deserve protection under the law. So I'm kind of waiting to see what does come out with this, to use Tim's word, this recalibration of what's happening in Minneapolis. And hopefully we can come together. And I'll say this, I have deputies that serve on federal task force, all of them. And we work great together, whether it's Safe Streets with FBI, DEA, ATF, all of them, with the exception of ICE and CBP. And so there has to be a reason for that. And I think we need to get past the politics of it and really focus on the mission of keeping our community safe.
Thank you so much for that from both of you. It's so needed right now, this clear and orienting leadership. So thank you both for bringing all of your vast experience and your commitment and your duties to serve your vows to serve here together to share with us today. We really appreciate it. So for those who are on the call that are listening in, our friends in the media, just if you'd like anything, follow up with any of these wonderful leaders or with us at the forum, please directly reach out to Dan Gordon, who you've all been in contact with, to set up this call. We're happy to continue the conversation. Thank you both for all that you do, Sheriff in particular, for the way that you serve day in and day out. And so we so appreciate you and Tim for bringing your expertise to this very difficult moment. We appreciate you. And for those hopeful notes, I too believe that Congress is. I will share my hopeful note. I think the members of Congress, there's several folks who are really trying to figure out what is that solution that America deserves. So I'm also hopeful and working hard to make sure that we can pull together some solutions that also allow our law enforcement leaders to have an easier job as well, keeping us safe and more clear directives. So thank you all so much for this day, for being together with us, and please do follow up if you have further questions for our law enforcement and national security leaders. See you soon.